Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here this morning, and happy December, everyone. As Alan said, we're going to take a little break from the Book of 1 Samuel and just bring out a couple of aspects of Christmas as we come towards that time of year. I wonder, are you longing for anything this Christmas? Longing is something that's stronger than just a need or a want, isn't it? Our culture is all about instant response to our needs and our wants. Faster delivery times for our online orders. Buy now, pay later. Messages are instant, aren't they? And your response to those messages is also expected to be instant. Every need must be fulfilled immediately. But longing speaks of a longer time period. Longings might not be satisfied so simply or so quickly. We think perhaps of times when there's been wars and a husband or a father has gone off to war. There's a longing for him to return. A mother might long for their child to come back home again, one who's left home. Perhaps this time of year we think about loved ones who we have lost, and the feeling is one of longing. And that's something that cannot be fulfilled. These longings can only be fulfilled by that person arriving home. And this is the time of Advent, as we call it, when we remember the arrival of Jesus, him coming at that first Christmas. And so this morning we're going to be thinking about Advent. Advent then and Advent now. And we're going to look at three people, and we're going to be thinking about what they longed for. They all longed for something. And in that longing, they had hope. What was their hope in that longing? And then finally, how was that hope fulfilled? How was their longing satisfied? So you thought you were getting a break from 1 Samuel, but actually we're going to go right back to the start. We're going to look at two passages in the Old Testament in particular, 1 Samuel 1 and Psalm 89 as well a bit later on. So I just want to focus on 1 Samuel 1 and think about the character of Hannah. You remember Hannah was Samuel's mother. And at the start of the series in 1 Samuel that we started back in April, we looked at the circumstances around Samuel's birth. We met Hannah. She couldn't conceive. And her proud rival, Penina, who could have children, taunted her at every opportunity. She longed for the fulfillment of having a baby. But the waiting continued year after year. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, "In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if only you will look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" We can imagine Hannah's deep anguish in not being able to bear a child. We can feel her longing to be able to mother a child of her own. This speaks to our deepest longing as a people. When we are faced with hopeless circumstances in our lives, we long for them to be resolved, corrected, made right. But sometimes the good we long for remains out of reach. But what does Hannah pray? She asks God to look at her and remember her. She appeals to the Almighty God to notice her, to remember her. To remember what? Well, we're going to see that the essence of this prayer is the essence of waiting for the advent of Christmas. And so we come to Hannah's hope. That was Hannah's longing for a child. But what was her hope in that longing? We look at chapter 1 of 1 Samuel and verse 17. "Eli answered Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went on her way, and she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Hannah had laid out her longings before the God of Israel. Eli encouraged her that the God of Israel had heard her request. And so, trusting that her prayer had reached God, her spirits lifted, and she ate. But how was Hannah's hope fulfilled? How was her longing hope fulfilled? Well, we read on in verse 20. In the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Then Hannah sings a song, declaring how God saw her humble, hopeless condition and answered her by raising her up and fulfilling her longing. But Hannah goes beyond grateful thanks for her son. She introduces for the first time in the Old Testament the idea of God's anointed. See the climax to her song in verse 10. She says, He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. God will exalt the horn of his anointed, God's anointed. And we've seen in our series in 1 Samuel, Samuel grew up to use the horn of oil to anoint the head of God's chosen king, David. The word anointed, it means set apart by God. God's chosen one to be king over his people. But the Hebrew word anointed is also the root word, is also the root of the word Messiah. So anointed and Messiah have the same root in the Hebrew language. God fulfilled Hannah's longing by giving her a baby who would be set apart to anoint the future king of Israel. But here we see a glimpse of a deeper longing and a deeper fulfillment. God was going to exalt his anointed one, his king, his Messiah, his Savior. Hannah's song opens up the significance of the anointed king in the Old Testament. God went on to make a covenant with the anointed king David and to the people of Israel. And so it was not just Hannah's longing for hope that was fulfilled. In a wider sense, it was the people of Israel, God's chosen people. And so we're going to turn to Psalm 89 now. And we're going to look at what the longing of God's chosen people in the Old Testament looked like. What was God's chosen people? What were their longings? What was Israel's longing? And how does Advent fulfill their longing? So Psalm 89, the writer here is speaking about God in verse 3. He says, you said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will remember your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. This is God's amazing covenant promise to David. He promised Abraham countless children. He promised David that his throne would last forever. But God also warned generations that came after their King David in verse 30 of Psalm 89. God warns them and says this, if David's sons forsake my law, and if they do not follow my statutes, and if they violate my decrees and fail to keep my commandments, I will punish their sin with the rod and their iniquity with flogging. But I will not take my love from him, nor will I ever betray my faithfulness. The kings and people that came after David were not faithful to God. And so, as God had warned, they went through periods of God's rejection, God's anger and judgment. They were removed, the people of Israel were removed from the promised land, and they were exiled for 70 years. It's difficult for us to understand the depth of loss the people of Israel felt in being removed from God's presence. It was an unthinkable agony. Psalm 137 says, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion." There's this sense of loss and longing in their exile. And so we come to the longing. This is the longing of the people of Israel, expressed in this Psalm, Psalm 89. And we come to verse 46. And this is the people of Israel, and they're praying to God, and they say, "How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Lord, where is your former great love, which in your faithfulness you swore to David? How long, O Lord?" These people felt like God had hidden himself from them. He had abandoned them. They longed for God to remember them, to turn towards them, to relent from judging them and show them favor. That was Israel's longing. But what hope did they have? Well, despite the repeated unfaithfulness of his chosen people, the Old Testament is full of hope in God's character and God's promises. We've already read some of them this morning in Isaiah, but let's turn to the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to read a few passages which demonstrate Israel's hope. Their longing was for God to return and to be close to them. And their hope was in the word of God, the prophecies that he had given. So Isaiah 49, verse 15, God says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." God says to his people, "See the strongest bond imaginable between a mother and a baby. That would be broken before I ever forget you." Isaiah 42:1 says, God says, for a long time I have kept silent. I have kept quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and will make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. The waiting is over. Like a mother having carried a growing baby inside her, God is now ready to go through the pain of birthing a new life. God has kept his people in the dark, but he is now going to reveal his full, glorious sunshine of the day. And Isaiah 40, as we always read at Christmas, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What comfort, what hope is here? The time of hard service is completed. The preparations for the advent of the coming Lord have begun. And as we read earlier, Isaiah 9, God says, "There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from this time on, from that time on, and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The longing for of those in gloom of deep darkness will be fulfilled. A child will be born to them, the mighty God, Prince of Peace. He will be the fulfillment of God's covenant to King David. But Psalm 89 asks longingly, how long? How long will you hide yourself forever? But there is Israel's hope in this longing. There is hope. It is in the promises of God that we read in Isaiah and other places in the Old Testament. It's as if God is saying, your longing will be fulfilled. Put your hope in God's anointed, the promised Messiah. God will not forget. Trust in him. And so we come to the first advent, Israel's longing, hope fulfilled. The fulfillment of that deep longing for God to come and visit his people. This was the first advent, waiting for God to remember his people, waiting on the dawn of a new light, God's anointed Messiah. And this is how we find the old man, Simeon. Shortly after Jesus was born in Luke 2, Simeon was waiting. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, like Isaiah prophesied, comfort, comfort. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And Simeon took the newborn Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Israel had to wait a long time to see this salvation. There were times of unfulfilled longing where it seemed like God had forgotten them. But in the fullness of time, like waiting for a pregnancy to be complete, once the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Under the same law his people, Israel, were under. And what did that baby boy mean to Simeon? Salvation. The first advent was the fulfillment of what Hannah and the King David and the exiles and all the believers of God's people in the Old Testament were waiting and longing for. God's anointed Messiah come to redeem his people. He had finally come. So that was Advent back then. The arrival of the Messiah to the Old Testament people of God. But why do we still celebrate this first Advent? What does Advent mean now? Why do we focus on the fulfilled longing of the Old Testament people at all? Well, next week we're going to see what kind of king this long-awaited Messiah would be. He was not what the Jews expected. He was humble. He was lowly. And he died a sacrificial death on behalf of those who humbly long for God's forgiveness. This is what the first Advent was for. God came down to be with us, to die for us. But God's people, Israel, rejected him. And so today, the promised Jewish Messiah is in fact for every person. Every tribe and nation can experience God's favor. Not because we have kept the Jewish sacrificial laws, but because this Messiah died in our place to bring us near to God. That's why we celebrate the first Advent. And we sometimes talk about Jesus being the greatest gift at Christmas. Imagine if you came downstairs on Christmas morning and all that was waiting for you was a note to remind you, the Messiah was born today, happy Christmas. I'd be a bit disappointed, would you? But is the first Advent at Christmas, is that really enough? Does that satisfy all of your unfulfilled longings? I want to finally think about your longings. There are many things we still long for, aren't there? More than a gift of what we really want at Christmas. Sometimes what we long for seems impossible or out of reach. We long for our life circumstances to change, but we've no power to make it happen. The story of Hannah's longing for a baby is true for people today, and we feel the same brokenness and unfulfilled longing that she did. Relationships also still cause longing, don't they? We feel lonely, and we long for connection. We mourn for broken relationships, even amongst Christians, that seem so difficult to fix. Christmas is a time for family, but sometimes our separation with loved ones who have died can make this a time for grieving. We long for the time we had with them. Christmas did not fix this broken world. Jesus was born, and he died, and he rose again, all to rescue and forgive the people of God. We celebrate and rejoice in him, but everything is still not right. Romans 8 says it like this: we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Like a woman in labor groaning to birth new life, this world's pain reveals a longing. It reveals a longing for the redemption of our bodies, our broken bodies, and the healing of the brokenness all around us and in us. We long for the advent, the second advent of Jesus Christ. At the first advent, Emmanuel was born to die for our redemption, to bring us to God. We can be rescued, forgiven of our sin that separates us from God. We rejoice in that. But Jesus promised he would come back again, and that will change everything. Our deepest longing shall be fulfilled. Our bodies, broken, will be renewed into eternal life. All the wrongs will be set right. And so, in your longing for the second advent, what is your hope? The words of Psalm 89 might ring true for you. How long, Lord? How long will you hide yourself forever? Our hope from the Bible is the history of God's faithful fulfillment of his promises. Israel's longing was fulfilled. God's character does not change. But faith is hard. We long to see, not just to believe. And Romans 8 reminds us, for in this hope, we were saved. But hope that's seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Be encouraged because of the first advent. Because of the first advent, because God was faithful to all those people who trusted in him, that he was true to his promise. You can put your confidence, your patient, faithful confidence in the hope of Jesus' return. He will not forget you. The labor pains might be strong, but in the fullness of time, Jesus came, and he will come again. So the first advent encourages us to long in the hope in hope for the second advent of Jesus Christ. Our longing hope will be fulfilled. And we join with those people in the Old Testament longing for God's anointed. But we have our eyes opened. We know the person we are longing for. Set your desires on him this Christmas. Emmanuel visited his people. His visit makes all the difference. But he will visit again, permanently. Have hopeful confidence in this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21. Like the believers of the Old Testament, trust in this prophecy from Revelation. God will be with us, not just by his Spirit, but in person. We will see him face to face and will dwell with him for eternity. And we wait for his second advent with eager expectation and longing. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me pray for us and we'll sing our final song. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came. You came, you were faithful to all those promises about you. You came as the only fulfillment, as the only satisfying fulfillment for our longing to be free from our sin. We thank you that through your birth, through your death, through your resurrection, we can have new life. We can have forgiveness for our sins. And we pray that if there's any that haven't already trusted in you, that we would do that now. That this Christmas we would trust in you for the first time and receive forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. And help us to be encouraged to look in hope to your second coming, the second advent, where all things will be put right, where you will wipe every tear from our eye, and all of our longings will be fulfilled in you. And we look forward to that time. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing, Man of Sorrows, what a name, what a savior.